Hi, everybody, and welcome to a Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Today, because I'm still on my drag break, I've decided to wear a Tupperware costume because that's what I've been eating my food out of, like my popcorn and my snacks. Yes, so it's a very boxy place, but the Tupperware is considered to be upside down as like a skirt, and then on the top, I'm just draping some plastic wrap around my body with a really cute wig. I know, very chic indeed. On today's episode, I want to talk about why you are single. And more so, I'm just actually making that title just because I think it'll gain more traction. But let's talk about why you're single. And I want to talk about this in the realm of the queer community as well. But there will be some nuggets for the straight folks out there that I think will be insanely helpful. Recently, one of my friends had posted online about the things they want in a relationship. And it's those four pictures of where, like, it's two dudes hanging on a couch, two dudes in a bath, two dudes playing video games, two dudes, like, being shirtless on the couch, eating pizza, watching a movie. And it's like a caption of like, I want this, I want this. And every time I see these memes, I get kind of like upset and a little angry. And it's not because of what they're trying to say. It's more so, have you ever felt like when you look around, you can tell exactly why someone is single and they just can't seem to figure it out for themselves? A lot of the times that people are single, and this is going to be the big shocker, and I guess I'm ruining my ending, but the reason you're single oftentimes does tend to be about you and, you know, the things that you need to work on. But there are those limited cases about the people that you're attracted to or the people that you attract are people who just, like, you're not compatible with. Like square peg, round hole. And oftentimes when I'm seeing some of my friends in these spaces, I make jokes about it, but there's always a little bit of truth behind it when I'm like, hey, they're like, well, why do you think I'm single? And I was like, well, you do have some narcissistic tendencies. You care a little bit more about yourself and then the people that you try to attract. I was like, and you only really go for people that are, insanely attractive. And so when it finally gets past the looks and past the first time hooking up, you have to deal with each other's personalities. And then that's when you recognize that this isn't necessarily going in the direction that you want it to go in. And the thing is, I've always been on the spectrum of not being super conventionally attractive. Actually, I'm not really conventionally attractive. I don't even know why I added a qualifier. I've always gone through life being like, you know, at the bottom rung, even in the straight, because I'm bisexual in the straight community and the queer community. And that's not a self-deprecating thing. It's just, you know, that's how society works. Like, society has these norms about what we deem to be attractive. Like, we force it down people's throats, from Disney movies to romantic comedies to the porn that we watch. Like, it's all this idea. Like, we all know what the pinnacle form of, like, attractiveness looks like. And so I always, and then also it does tend to have a really close proximity to whiteness, like how lighter skinned you are does also help you in the ratings of how conventionally attractive you tend to be. And even in circles that do appreciate different bodies, like in the queer community, a bear, you know, is a bigger guy with, you know, a beard potentially, or a daddy who's like a bigger guy, a little older and whatever. So even in those scenes, like, race comes into play, and race sometimes is like on one of the bottom rungs. And then especially in the black, when people are interested in black folks, we do also have to be aware of being fetishized. So now that I've got that all out of the way, this is to say that I understand where I fall in the rankings. And I actually I value some of those experiences, even though they were hurtful, because it let me understand who I got more time to work on myself. And then I know I said in an earlier podcast, but I think this is true for my new listeners. There was this really viral moment going around that in high school, when all the straight kids were figuring out who they were and their dating lives and stuff like that, we weren't ready to date yet, or we weren't out of the closet, or we'd get kicked out of our homes, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so, like, we had to come into dating later. And I really have found that in the queer community, the majority of folks are specifically about looks. And then I know that people immediately go, well, shouldn't I date somebody that I'm attracted to? And of course you should date somebody that you're attracted to. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about attraction shouldn't just be specifically physical. Like, attraction should also include somebody who treats you well, who you want to treat well, who needs you care about, whose your needs are getting met by this other person. And your needs should be more than just physical. It should be emotional caring and emotional well-being and emotional stability. And so back to the conversation. So what does it mean? Why are you single? It's because a lot of people prioritize the things that don't matter when dating somebody versus the things that should matter when dating somebody. And that's That's why you're single. Now let's unpack that a little bit. If I'm going on a date, well, this is how I used to date anyway. If I went on a date, I was always very clear. And actually, let's even back it up. This is the way that I dated. The way that I dated is I would go up to somebody and who I would find attractive. So, I have it too. Like, I'm like, oh, they're really attractive. And we'd spark up a conversation. I was like, oh, they're moderately interesting because it's just a conversation. You can't know everything about them. And I'm like, hey, do you want to grab coffee? That's how I dated. And I know a lot of people out there do have social anxiety, so that's really too hard for them. And I understand that. So let's just go ahead and skip forward to when you actually do get a date in whatever manner that you actually do get a date. And you're sitting at the table and you're having conversations. And I know they have so many rules and so many books out there about what you should talk about. And like, oh, if you do this, it's a deal breaker. Or if they say this, that's a red flag. And I don't necessarily believe that all of that stuff is completely true because somebody's red flags or somebody's green flags. Like somebody's like red flags might be like, oh, they don't talk to their mom enough. Or somebody's green flag is like, oh, good, I don't have to worry about potentially a future mother-in-law who's horrible to me. Right. So when it comes to red flags and green flags, those are yours. Those are definitely yours. And you should adopt green flags that fit with who you are as a person. And green flags and red flags, are just the difference between what is a positive trait and what is a toxic trait for you. So if I'm sitting down and we're talking about subjects and whatever, I try to also, one thing that I did try to do when I was dating is I tried to make sure to not talk too much, which is funny because I'm on a podcast where I'm just now talking to a group of listeners. I tried not to talk too much because I wanted to make sure that I understood who they were because I'm trying to figure out if we're compatible, right? That's what a date is. That's what dating is. People also get really messed up on the term dating these days, which is kind of weird. Dating really is supposed to be the phase of where you're getting to know each other. A relationship is obviously where you're committed, the Facebook status change, blah, 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 blah. And whatever form of commitment means to you, regardless if you're poly or not, it's still a commitment that you're making to this person. Dating is not supposed to have too many rules other than like, hey, I'm talking to you to get to know you to see if I would like to be in a romantic relationship with you. Like people are like, oh no, we're just casually dating. We're just casually dating. It's like, yeah, that's because like sometimes like you're still in the dating phase and you're bringing this person around to your friends, and that's okay to say that you're casually dating, but don't say casually dating just because you want to hook up and not see a potential in a person. That's just hooking up. I do think that people should be a little bit more firm with the terms so we can understand what's going on in a picture and so you're not leading somebody on. So when you're in the dating phase with somebody and you're sitting down and you're having these conversations, I try not to talk too much, like I mentioned earlier. And then I want to hear a little bit more about their life, like what are their careers, what are their goals, what are their aspirations, and seeing if they align. I also like to know what quirky things, like what's a public quirky thing that this person likes to talk about. Like for me, like I'm just super invested in anime. Anime so much. Like that's the stuff that I enjoy, and I like to figure out like what kind of movies and stuff that they are interested in because I super love going to the movies. I love to read more so web comics if anything, but I like to know like what quirky habits they have so then you can start having those cute meet moments, where you're like, oh my God, I love that movie too, or this thing really speaks to me, or oh my God, I love that artist and whatever. And that's where you can start making those initial connections, and then that also helps you end up planning like future dates. You're like, oh, maybe we should go to a concert or maybe we should go to a movie. Because like I was one of those people like when I was dating, because this is a green flag for me, is I was like, oh yeah, I super want to go to the movies. Like that sounds great to me. I love the movie going experience. I love getting my popcorn. I love like watching the previews. I love laughing really loudly. I like to hold hands in a movie theater and snuggle and like all those other things that, are very traditional, but I've always loved those things. I loved getting out of my life for 5 seconds because my life is insanely busy. So movies were a really great big green flag for me. And so I tried to find people who would meet with that. Now let's talk about a red flag. Let's say that you're on the date and the person is, see, this is what kind of kills me about it with people is that, like, say they're super attractive and then they say to you, because remember I said my super green flag is going to movies. And if they look at me and they're like, I just hate movies. Like, I hate spending all that money going to the movies. Like, I torrent all of my stuff. Like, I just like sitting at home. Like, we can watch movies at home, but, and like, immediately you're thinking, well, like, you can compromise. Like, Coco, that shouldn't be that big of a red flag. But if this was like, I hate going to the movies, but it's something that you love to do, then it's probably going to be a point of contention in the future where you're planning evenings away from each other in a really toxic way versus a healthy way. You're like, well, I'm going to go out with my friends to go to a movie because you just don't like seeing movies, right? And then it's a passive aggressive argument and blah, 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 blah. Like, I like to look for warning signs in the sense of like, is this compatibility? Now, some of you out there might be thinking, like, well, you could be wrong. Maybe you're just being too strict on it. And the thing is, you could be wrong and you could continue the date, or you could continue dating them to see if there's other things that are more green flags for you. Cause like, not everybody just has one green flag. Like, I probably have like 270 green flags and I probably have 1,000 red. Right. And so when you're so then the next sentence, it could be like, oh, but I really love this artist who's your favorite artist. So then it might be turning into like, oh, maybe I go see movies with my friends, but I go to concerts with this person. You know, and then they have like, let's go to a classic deal breaker, like back in the day, like smoking. And smoking was a deal breaker for me when I was younger and whatever, but it wasn't necessarily a deal breaker for me in the future. The only thing that I hated about it is that we would be in the middle of enjoying something and your friend who smokes has to go outside to like have a cigarette, and they try to like move everybody outside to continue having fun, but because they need like to have a cigarette. And I always hated those moments because it would be like kind of jarring. And it would make it to where the experience wasn't super great. I also wasn't a heavy weed smoker. And so trying to date heavy weed smokers was really difficult for me as well, because I wasn't super in love with the smell. And you know, a weed smoker, that is the thing that they want to do, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like it revolves around a lot of their personalities and things like that. And I'm not saying there's anything negative with that. I'm really not. I'm just saying that when like, I was like, hey, let's go do this thing or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, I'm just super baked. And that would always just get really annoying. I dated a couple of weed smokers, and it was always just really hard to like do things. I don't even think I'm like an extrovert person who goes out and like hikes and goes to the movies every single day. But it was like, hey, let's go downtown for a drink. And I was like, oh, I'm super baked. Or it's like, oh, cool, let's like, you know, maybe be intimate. It's like, oh God, I'm just like baked out of my mind right now. Like stuff like that. Or having to repeat myself a lot. And that just got really messy. And I wasn't super in love with that form of it. And now, don't get me wrong, I've smoked weed, of course. And, you know, I've had edibles, and I am useless to the universe when it's happening. And I have had like past relationships where they were fine with people who were aggressive weed smokers as well. So don't get me wrong there. It just was something that I knew that it was always going to be somewhat of an issue, because you had to plan around it. Just like in my life, whoever I was going to date was going to have to be super okay with drag. Right? And so now, obviously, for my next set, I'm going to get into Why You Are Single, the drag edition. So listeners, let me stop right here. Let me ask, how are you doing? Let me know in the comments.
You know, when it comes to drag, a lot of us were exposed to it because of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And you know what's even cooler than that? They sometimes do shadow casts of Rocky Horror all over the city. Specifically speaking, Marla Darling presents the Rocky Horror Lavender Show at Clinton Street Theater. Join Marla's cast of queer, trans, and BIPOC individuals as they present the original Midnight Mass, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, at the historic Clinton Street Theater. Show dates are July 29th, September 30th, and October 27th. Tickets are available at cstpdx.com. That is cstpdx.com. Don't dream it, be it.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into What They Tell You podcast. Check
it out. And we are back, listeners. So, dating a drag queen. And I know I've talked about this on this podcast before, but now I've had a lot more experience living in Portland, and I think I have some insight to let you know how to date a drag artist if you want to. I'm going to be debunking some myths, but I also want to talk about some of the things I've seen my friends deal with in the sense of their dating realm since I've lived in Portland now since June of 2019. So I'll go back and start with mine. So after my previous marriage had ended, I was kind of known in my city as being a drag artist. And so it's one thing that I was never really ashamed of. So on dates, I would talk about it, and I would see people in at my shows or, you know, that I was dating or whatever, or people that I went on dates with that would come to my stuff, or I even dated a drag artist for a second as well. I did know that I gained more, if we're talking about it again, more green flags and more red flags because of drag. So one of the things that was a green flag for me is somebody who would compliment my drag lifestyle, because drag was, it's high life, it's entertainment and whatever. And so I knew I wanted to date somebody who would be okay being in the bar scene. Even if they were sober, just still being okay to be in the bar scene, because that's where I was going to be spending a lot of my nights. I also wanted to make sure I was okay with somebody who didn't want me to, like, wasn't just waiting for me to transition kind of stuff either, like we're more in the fetishization realm, waiting for me. They're like, oh, well, you know, like, I only really like you in this form. And that was, that developed, oh my gosh, that almost gave me a complex, because people would be attracted to Coco, but not attracted to my boy form. And so I was like, oh crap, well, that's just a red flag if that's all they see me for as well. And I'm not talking about like having like scandalous fun. I'm talking about a relationship, right? Because that is different. When you want somebody to be with you and accept all of you for all your pieces, how can you accept somebody or date somebody who accepts you for all your pieces when they only want a part of you? When it came to how I approached the conversation, I never hid it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a drag queen. That's something that I do. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Usually people just be like, oh, that's cool. That's always what they thought. Oh, that's cool. Like, you just do drag sometimes. Or the only thing they knew about drag was from Drag Race, which obviously wasn't something that I had done, or wasn't necessarily going for at the time. And I remember, there were some people who were super turned off by it, but I also do remember there was a guy that I was really interested in who was just very much interested in the Coco version of myself. And I did fall into the trap. I know that's a triggering word. I did fall into the trap of like trying to get him to like the outside of drag version of me. And it never worked because he was never really interested in that part of me. And I think that's where I developed the flag. Because I was like, oh, I really want him to like me. And he did like me out of drag. He just didn't want me physically. And you really do want a person, you want somebody to not be repulsed by a side of yourself. And I don't think that he was repulsed by it. It was more so just like, he just wasn't interested in touching that version of myself, even to like hold hands. So, let's fast forward a little bit. And then when I started dating people, and I was in the dating phase, it was about how I asked one of them, I said, hey, like, you know that I, like, you know, when I'm at a show and whatever, like, what do you expect your role to be? What would you want your role to be? And they're like, well, I've never really been to a drag show. And so I don't really know how I'm going to feel until it like actually happens. And I was like, well, there's a lot of people. And they were like, oh, I don't really like a lot of crowd. I don't really like crowds. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, no, that's still understandable. I was like, you could always like, you know, watch from the balcony or watch from over here or whatever. Or I can like set you up with a friend of mine. And they're like, yeah, I don't really like loud noises either. And they're like, how serious are you about? I remember he asked, how serious are you about this? And I was like, well, I'm pretty serious right now. I was like, I really like it. It's something that's like a passion project of mine. And he's like, okay, well, then maybe I can get on board, which, you know, that's not necessarily green or red flag. That's compromise. And so I was like, okay. The reason that, and actually this is just a side note, the reason it didn't work out with this person is because I had made a comment when I was bringing them back from, we just went on a stroll downtown, and I was bringing them back to their house, and I had made a comment about Black Lives Matter. And because I had helped start the group in Grand Junction, Colorado. And he went on a very, very long tangent about not understanding what it was. He had some like talking points that weren't really fleshed out. He made an All Lives Matter comment as well. It was just like, I just let him talk. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to get defensive. I didn't want to be that person. And I remember, and like, he was like ranting for this like 8 to 9 minute car ride. And I got back to his house and he's like, oh, you got really quiet. And I was like, well, I started the group here in Grand Junction, Colorado. I helped start that group. And he was like, oh, well, well, I feel like I probably messed up just now then. And I was like, well, yeah. And he's like, well, dang. He's like, well, I really like you. And I was like, yeah, but that's a part of myself that I can't change when I was like, there are certain things that you could potentially compromise on, but you can't compromise on your morals or your skin color. That's just not a thing. And even though he was nice to me and he was smart and he was pretty, I was like, this isn't going to work. Because when somebody gives you their unfiltered impression about difficult conversations about race, how's that going to be able to work? And I know that some people actually do the same thing when it comes to drag. They'll say, how do you feel about drag queens? And you'll let them just talk to see how they feel about drag queens. And then you're like, oh, well, this isn't going to work then, I guess. And I know that it seems really awful because, like, you know, it's a hobby, but it's also a love and it's an art. And a lot of us don't want to give that up for anyone. And it's understandable because it's something that's passionate to us. So here's the other advice that I want to give all of you out there is don't hide those pieces of yourself. It doesn't have to necessarily be like the first date conversations, but you don't hide those pieces of yourself. Because if it's something you're passionate about, and I do mean anything that you're passionate about, if you're going to hide it from this person, then you're not really showing them who you are. And that's not fair to them. How are they going to get to know you if they don't know who you are? So back to my adventures in dating. So then I was dating a drag queen, a new drag queen in the city as well. And it was going pretty well, actually. It was like the only thing that was really wrong with the situation is just that we weren't necessarily as compatible as I would like to be. And what I was doing at this time in my dating phase is I was trying to date the person that I knew I should be with versus the person I wanted to be with. And the thing I knew, I wanted to be with somebody who I was attracted to. I wanted to be with somebody who treated me right. And I wanted to be with somebody who respected my drag. And I even told myself, if I'm going to do this, then I might be alone forever. And that's fine. Because my marriage ended so terribly that I was like, I'm going to force myself to date somebody that I think I should be with. I'm going to date the top tier for what I consider to be top tier. And this person was great and compatible, but I felt myself falling into old habits immediately because they were so comfortable to talk to. And I know this is going to sound weird to you all out there. Like, this person and I could talk until the sun came up and we could talk about anything and I could BS and they would give me great advice and whatever, but it felt too comfortable. It felt way too comfortable. It reminded me of my ex-husband. And I was like, I don't love that feeling. I don't love the feeling that this person reminds me of them so much. I didn't love that. And I was like, I'm going to force myself to date somebody else. I'm going to force myself to date the good guy. Not saying this guy wasn't, but I'm going to force myself to date the good guy, even if it feels uncomfortable, even if it feels like it won't last forever. I'm going to force myself to date what's good for me versus what I think is good for me. And I think a lot of people get caught up in that because they're like, well, I don't like feeling uncomfortable in a relationship. Shouldn't it feel comfortable? Shouldn't it feel easy? Shouldn't it feel wonderful from the start? Shouldn't it feel, yeah, it probably could feel all of those things, but that's not the recipe for a great relationship. A recipe for a great relationship just isn't just because it feels great. That's not how that works. And so, like, so I ended up dating a quirky kid who treated me well, didn't want to be a drag queen, so I didn't have to share the spotlight. Somebody with a job, they had their own apartment, and they were very, very attractive, well above tiers above where I was. And I remember immediately it didn't feel like butterflies. And I remember immediately not feeling like I was good enough for this person because this person was so good. I remember feeling that no matter... I kept saying, if it ends in 6 months, then it was just a great learning experience because I dated somebody who accepted these pieces of me that I think are important. This person who doesn't seem like they could ever be cross or hurtful with me. This person who would communicate with me in any capacity. And of course, they were just freaking attractive, like all by all means. But I never, ever felt like I had to compromise myself to be with them. And I don't mean compromises. I mean compromise myself. Like, oh, well, I just guess I won't go to movies. Oh, I guess I can't hang out with my friends. Oh, I guess, you know, I really like anime, but I'll just watch that by myself in a different room. or spending those moments where you spend, and I use this analogy a lot because people will understand what I'm talking about. Do you remember, have you ever been in the relationship where you sat in the car after work because you needed to do things that were just for you, that that person didn't necessarily love, and it was the only chance that you could do to get the to do those things? I'm not saying people in those relationships are toxic or whatever, because sometimes it involves like when you have kids and you're just like, I need just 5 minutes before I go in this house before it's a madhouse because you just got done at work and you don't want to go back into a high stress situation. But when it comes to when you're just in the dating phase and it's just you two, like if you feel that way, I would really examine why you feel that way. I would not say it's necessarily a bad relationship, but I'm going to say you should examine why you feel that way because it might mean something. And here's more to the point, too. So when I started to really like this person, I also just expected it to fail because, like, when you have too good of things in life, it just seems like it's not meant for you. It's meant for, like, somebody else, somebody, like, better than who you are or something like that. And that's how it felt to me. And I wanted to make sure that this person was what I wanted them to be. And then when it came to the drag aspect, I was super nervous that that would be a turnoff or a turn on for them. I didn't want drag to be anything for them. And what I mean by that is I didn't want it to sway their decision in any way. And I know every drag artist on the planet probably feels that way. Like, they don't want necessarily this version of yourself to be the thing that they're most attracted to or the thing they most like. And they don't, and you don't want the thing if you out of drag to be the thing that they actually you do want them to, out of drag to be the thing that they love and like the best, but have an appreciation for the fact that you do drag. People always used to say to me it was an anomaly that the guy that I was dating wanted to come to all my drag shows, and it's just because he liked spending time with me and he admired the person that I was in drag. And so, obviously, if you haven't figured out yet, the person that I was talking about ended up later becoming my husband, and that's DJ Queer Cub in the community. It didn't feel natural at first. It didn't feel comfortable. And I was breaking out of my shell a lot to date this person because I was like, I don't deserve this person. And it's not because my ex-husband made me feel like I don't deserve that person. It was because it didn't immediately feel natural. It didn't feel like it was supposed to be... Isn't it supposed to feel like butterflies when it's the right person? Isn't it supposed to feel like, oh, I knew from day one that this was the person I was supposed to be with for the rest of my life? It didn't feel that way. But I'm going to be with this person for the rest of my life, sure. Because they're amazing in every single way. Now, when it comes to when I'm looking at my other friends in the drag scene and how they date and whatever, the first thing they usually throw out is they're like, well, you know, I'm going to need to stop performing as much. Like, I hear that so often. I'm going to need to stop performing as much. Because they don't seem to, like, they don't really like jet. They don't really, like, you know, love it. And the thing is, I'm not going to do drag for... I always hear that. I'm not going to do drag forever, so I don't want to, like, push them away if they're, like, my future husband. I was like, wouldn't your future husband appreciate the fact that you do drag? Like, at least to some modicum of respect and whatever. And, like, And the other thing, too, is I do know that some people are like, oh, well, this person's sober. And I know that sobriety is, it's a whole conversation. It's a whole topic that I don't necessarily have time for today when it comes to when you're dating. But it's an important piece of them and it's an important piece of their journey. And sometimes they can't be in those spaces depending on where they are with that journey. And drag does happen a lot in bars. It does. It's mostly in bars. And so I totally get and understand why some people would be like, oh, I can't do this. This isn't going to work for me today. And I get that too. And people were like, well, I'm not going to give up happiness for drag. And I was like, yeah, I get it. But you should not compromise your drag and happiness at the same time. If drag makes you happy, if you love drag, you should be able to find somebody who accepts your drag for what it is, accepts your drag and boosts you up. And they don't have to be a part of the scene, but they definitely need to like encourage you and respect the fact that you do it. Too often I'm finding times when friends are make up rules for themselves, like to justify the negative treatment they see in relationships, especially when it comes to their drag. I've seen friends hide their drag from their partners. I've seen friends who will de-drag completely before they're like allowed to go home. stuff like that, just because they want to keep doing drag, but they have some version of their life that isn't accepting of it. And I find that to always be insanely heartbreaking. Now, I know that not everybody gets to have my story, and I'm not trying to throw it down anybody's throat to talk about these things, but just know that you can find there. The truest phrase about dating that I've always respected is there are plenty of fish in the sea. If you are stopping your life or changing your life completely because of this one specific fish, the fish that you're supposed to be with might swim away. So make sure not to have your blinders on, because love is an intoxicating feeling, but it's not the makings of a great relationship. And I'm going to say that again. Love might be an intoxicating feeling, but it's not the makings of a great relationship. A great relationship takes work. It takes understanding. It takes communication. It takes calling out stuff before it gets too big. Like, it's recognizing that the wet towel on the bed might be a big deal to somebody and it might mean nothing to someone else. It might mean how you load forks into the dishwasher might be a big deal to somebody, but not a big deal to someone else. It's recognizing that some people have complicated relationships with their families. It's recognizing that some people might have an easy and loving and big family that is always a part of them. It's recognizing that somebody might have a pet that will always rank higher than you. It might be understanding that somebody has nothing but you. It's understanding the caring, kindness, and need of having somebody in your life who was a stranger before you met them, who had experiences, especially as you get older, who have experiences, traumas, successes, and failures that have defined them as a person. And you have to be willing to be understanding of those things. If you want your relationship to fit specifically for that square block into that square hole, you're more than likely not going to find it. But what I like to say, and a phrase that I still think is valid today, is you want to find somebody who complements your life, not completes it, not somebody who you have to compromise for, but somebody who complements your life. And you complement their life with tons of communication, and that's how you move forward in a positive relationship. Because seriously, you don't want to be somebody's mom, you don't want to be somebody's dad, you don't want to be somebody's parent. Like, you don't want to try to teach them on how to be a human being. Like, that's not a relationship, and that's not love. You could definitely help somebody out later in life, of course, but that's not the dating phase. Don't sacrifice who you are as a person to be with someone else. Just because that boy is pretty does not mean that boy, you need to change who you are to be with that boy. And here's the other thing. And I've been on this kick now with my hot friends for a long time. It's like, just because you're hot doesn't mean you specifically have to date another hot person. Yeah, like, and I mean this too. And this isn't just about weight or race or like identifiers or whatever, but I've been finding that hot people will be alone for such a long time looking for a unicorn. Because they expect that perfect package and that body that person is to come with a perfect personality that complements them completely well. And then they'll try to force that person to change to complement them better. If you're forcing a person to change to complement them better just because they're pretty, you're like, they're pretty. If they would just do this, we would be perfect. It's like, no, then you just think that they're pretty and you're not supposed to be together. A lot of my friends go through that more times than I can count. I'm serious. It's really about the personality, and every single person knows that. Yeah, it needs to come in a perfect packaging. Sorry, it needs to come in a pretty packaging that you're attracted to, but that packaging, like, shouldn't be what's inside what you're most excited about. When you unwrap that box, shouldn't that be the thing that you love, the thing that you cherish forever, the thing that you hang up on your wall, show all your friends, the thing that was given to you that is so special and so prized? Like, when you talk about your partners to other people, do you start with they're really great, or do you start with they're so pretty? Do you talk about the things that they do for you, or do you talk about them? Do you talk about how they are, or do you talk about what they look like? Because, like, when I talk about my partner, he's gorgeous. He is absolutely gorgeous, but he is kind. He is a kind person, and he's so goofy, and he's insanely stupid in the best ways, and he's quirky, and he loves video games, and all the things that he does just make me realize over and over and over again how I just have a crush on the person that I'm dating. I have a crush on the person that I'm married to because he just is weird. And I like him because he's weird. And he treats me better than anybody has ever treated me. And I do really wish that for everybody, even my enemies. Find somebody who treats you better than you even know how to be treated. And more importantly, don't push away love just because it doesn't come in the packaging you wanted it to come in. Like if it's treating you better than anybody's ever treated you in life, maybe stop overlooking that person as just a this and maybe start looking at them as a potential. That brings us to the end of our episode, listeners. Hopefully you got something out of this. I have a lot of conversations that I want to have about love in the future, so hopefully you enjoyed this. But for now, bye-bye. Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.